السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكریم. رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہ قولی. اللهم اهد قلبی وسدد لسانی واسلل سخیمۃ قلبی. آمین یا رب العالمین. اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی says in the Quran, انما المؤمنون الذين اذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم واذا تليت عليهم اياته زادتهم ايمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. The believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful. Let us examine the state of our hearts. Is the heart attentive towards Allah? And when his verses are recited to them, it increases them in faith. Again, let us examine our hearts. The purpose of listening to the Quran, of reading the Quran, is to increase in our faith, to strengthen our faith. So let us not just listen to the Quran with our ears, allow it to reach the heart. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And upon their Lord, they rely. Because when they learn the Qur'an, they learn who their Lord really is. So they begin to rely upon Him. And as they learn the Qur'an, they're moved to action. Which action? الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The ones who establish prayer, and from what we have provided them, they spend. Allah says about such people, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. Those are the believers in truth. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For them are degrees of high position with their Lord. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. And forgiveness. وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. And a noble provision. In these verses we learn that when the verses of Allah are recited upon the believers, it increases them in faith. Sheikh As-Sa'di said that this means that the reason for this is that they listen to the verses of Allah with a present heart. They listen to the verses of Allah with attentiveness. So when they listen, they actually reflect upon them. And when they reflect upon the verses, this results in their increase of faith. Because tadabbur, reflecting upon the Qur'an, is actually one of the actions of the heart. So when a person does tadabbur on the Qur'an, what happens? First of all, they get to know meanings which they were unaware of. Or they get reminded of matters which they had forgotten. Or they develop the desire to perform good deeds. Or the desire to receive the generosity and reward of their Lord. Or the fear of punishment and the fear of sin is produced in their heart. And all of these matters increase faith. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that as we go through the Qur'an, as we reflect upon each juz every day, this becomes a means of increase in our faith also. So that we come to know of what we were previously unaware of. We get reminded of things which we had forgotten. We develop the motivation to perform good deeds. We develop the desire to receive the reward of our Lord. And we develop the fear of His punishment. And we stay away from sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our faith. Ameen. Inshallah, we'll begin Juz number 3 of the Qur'an. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. Those messengers, some of them we caused to exceed others. Among them were those to whom Allah spoke and raised some of them in degrees. We see over here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His prophets, His messengers. The fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent prophets and messengers in every era for the guidance of mankind. It is said that there were about 124,000 prophets, or in some narrations, 114,000. Regardless, there have been over 100,000 prophets. And out of them, 300 were messengers. They were rusul. And among them also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose some above others in different ways. For instance, 5 of the messengers, they are known as ulul azm, those of determination. And they are Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these messengers were such that some of them were given preference over others. And this was in a number of different ways. We see that even within the creation, we see how things are not always equal. The 5 fingers on your hand are not the same. They're not identical. People do not have equal wealth. All trees are not the same. And there are multiple wisdoms behind these differences. So our job is not to constantly compare between things. And where something has been given preference over another, we should accept that reality. We should not feel jealous over there, because this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is His distribution. And if we are given preference in some way, then we should be grateful for that. We should acknowledge that. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So the messengers, some of whom Allah chose above others, how was that? Allah tells us, among them were those to whom Allah spoke. Meaning, He directly spoke to some of them, such as Musa alayhi salam, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And He raised some of them in degrees. Meaning, they were given preference in other ways. For example, Ibrahim alayhi salam was made the imam. He is the father of the prophets. He has the title of Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. And we gave Isa, the son of Maryam, clear proofs. What kind of clear proofs? He could heal the blind, the leper. He performed various miracles that were unique to him amongst all of the prophets and messengers. And he performed them all by the permission of Allah. And we supported him with the pure spirit, meaning with the angel Jibreel. So Isa alayhi salam even spoke as a child. If Allah had willed, those succeeding them would not have fought each other after the clear proofs had come to them. But they differed. And some of them believed and some of them disbelieved, meaning this is what happened to the nations of the prophets. And if Allah had willed, they would not have fought each other, but Allah does what He intends, meaning Allah gives freedom to His servants. And some of them misuse this freedom. Then the believers are addressed. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, anfiqu, spend. From what? Mimma razaqnakum, from that which we have provided you. Give forward, pass on from the things that we have given you. Don't just keep everything to yourself. And why give? For your own benefit. Before there comes a day, meaning the day of judgment, what kind of a day is that? In which there is no exchange, and no friendship, and no intercession. And the deniers, they are truly the wrongdoers. So those who do not believe in Allah, do not give Him His right, such people are zalim. They are committing zulm, wrong on themselves. It hasn't been said that those who do zulm, those who do wrong, commit kufr. No, those who commit kufr are the ones who commit zulm. So this shows us that disbelief is actually a form of injustice. And now the greatest verse of the Quran is mentioned, which is Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the throne, which is the best description of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a verse that protects the reciter against the shayateen, against the devils. It is a verse which takes its reciter to paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi immediately after every fard prayer, after every prescribed prayer, then there will be nothing standing between him and his entering paradise except death. Meaning the person who recites it after every salah, then they will go to Jannah. So add this to the list of things that you're going to do, that I must recite Ayatul Kursi after every fard prayer. What is Ayatul Kursi? الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. We learned earlier about the power of Allah's name, the greatness and the blessing that His name contains. This ayah, Ayatul Kursi, contains five names of Allah. Not one, but five. And it also contains 26 attributes of Allah. The attributes of Allah are His qualities, His traits, such as the fact that He is one, or the fact that drowsiness and sleep do not overtake Him. This ayah is filled with the praises of Allah. And this is why it is the greatest verse. Not the longest, but the most magnificent, the greatest verse. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ لَهَا لِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنْ تُقَدِّسُ الْمَلِكِ. That it has a tongue and lips and it declares the purity, the holiness of the sovereign, meaning it glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this ayah mean? Allah, there is no deity except Him. Meaning Allah is the only one worthy of worship. Why? Because He alone is Allah. He alone is the one true God. Who is He? Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, the ever-living, the sustainer of all existence. He is the ever-living. He is the one who is perfect in His existence. So He was always there and He will always remain. Because He is perfect in Himself. He is perfect in all of His qualities. This is why He will never die. He will never suffer any decline. Because He is free from any imperfection. He is independent of all. In fact, He is the source of life. Al-Hayy. And along with that, He is Al-Qayyum, the sustainer of all existence. So He is extremely independent. So He needs no one, but everyone needs Him. Everyone depends on Him. He is perfect in His actions. Otherwise, how could anything exist? Al-Hayyul Qayyum. You see, if we don't get food, we die. If we develop respiratory issues, we don't get oxygen, we would die. A tiny microscopic virus can cripple us. It can bring our lives, our infrastructures, our businesses to a complete halt. This is why we must learn to rely upon not ourselves, but Allah, Al-Hayy, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ, Allah says. Rely upon the ever-living, the one who does not die. Our reality is that كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان, everyone upon the earth will perish. وَيَبُقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and there will remain the face of your Lord, owner of majesty and honor. So who is Allah? He is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Not only does everyone's life and existence depend upon Him, their sustenance also depends upon Him. So if He does not give, if He does not allow, not a thing could exist. Our existence is proof of His perfection. Our existence is proof of His knowledge, of His care. So perfect is He that neither drowsiness overtakes Him nor sleep. Neither sleep overcomes Him, nor does He sleep by choice. Because sleep, remember, is a form of imperfection. And Allah is free of any imperfection. He is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. He does not get tired. He does not need rest. So do not confuse Him with the creation. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Meaning He is the real owner. So everything besides Him is actually owned by Him. He is the creator. So everything besides Him is His creation. He is the giver. So everything besides Him is provided by Him. So all are powerless before the All-Powerful. How powerless? Who is it that can intercede with him except by his permission? No one can even speak before him without his permission. This is why our ultimate concern should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the dunya and the akhirah both belong to Allah. He knows what is presently before them and what will be after them. This is how vast His knowledge is. Remember, Allah's knowledge is ash-shamil, meaning it includes everything. So nothing is absent from His knowledge. It is kamil, it is perfect, so it is free of any error. No matter what place it is, no matter what time it is, no matter what deed it is, Allah knows about it all. So no one can lie to Him, no one can hide from Him, no one can escape Him. And they encompass not a thing of His knowledge except for what He wills. You see, we are only able to learn something when Allah allows us to know about it. So knowledge is actually sustenance. It is a gift from Allah. And we are only able to know about Allah that which He allows us. And that is only through revelation, because He is more knowledgeable about Himself than anyone else. So if we want to know who Allah is, let us not make assumptions. Let us not hear what people say. Let us see how He describes Himself. وَسِعَ كُرُسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ His kursi, His footstool extends over the heavens and the earth, meaning it is so vast that it could contain all of the skies and all of the earths. And yet the kursi is not His greatest creation. That is the arsh. So vast is His sultan. And their preservation tires Him not. He's been guarding them from the beginning, constantly providing, deciding, giving, and His treasures have not diminished. And He is Al-Ali, Al-Azim. He is the Most High. So He is above all, and everyone is beneath Him. Everyone is below Him. And He is Al-Azim, the Most Great. So He is greater than all, and everyone is weak before Him. لا إكراه في الدين. There shall be no compulsion in the religion. This means no one can force another to become Muslim. And there is no need to do so, because the right course has become clear from the wrong. So when a person is Muslim, they must adhere to the laws of Islam. But when someone is not Muslim, then there is no need to force them. There is no need to coerce them, because the truth is clear. So whoever disbelieves in Taghut, and remember Taghut is anything that is worshipped besides Allah, whatever name it has. Whoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, only Allah, then such a person has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. Such a handhold that has no break in it. Meaning he has adopted a religion that will provide a solution to every problem, an answer to every confusion. And Allah is ever hearing and ever knowing. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the ally of those who believe. This is the benefit of iman, that a person receives the friendship of Allah, the help of Allah. And what happens when Allah is a friend to those who believe? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ He brings them out from darknesses into the light. Because He loves them. So He rectifies their affairs for them. He takes care of them. He helps them. And He does not surrender them. He does not leave them to anyone else. He ensures their guidance. He gives them light. The light of iman. The light of knowledge. The light of clarity. And when Allah is the wali of a person in the world, this means that He will be their wali, their friend in the hereafter as well. This is why, make this your ultimate goal. Make Allah your friend. So Allah will be your friend. And those who disbelieve, those who reject Allah, those who turn away from their Lord, then their allies are taghut. And what do then? They take them out of the light into darkness. Subhanallah, once upon a time they were in light, but when they turned away from Allah, Then the taghut took them away, out of light, into darkness. So now they're misguided, falling in wrong ways. Those are the companions of the fire. They will abide eternally therein. And this is such a terrible end that a person can have. Now in the following verses, through different stories, we are shown how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali, the friend of those who believe, how He guides them, how He strengthens them. Have you not considered the one who argued with Ibrahim about his Lord merely because Allah had given him kingship? It is said that this was King Nimrud. When Ibrahim said, "My Lord is the one who gives life and causes death." What an excellent proof Ibrahim alayhi salam gave, related to the origin and final end of the creation. So Nimrud said, "I give life and I also cause death." It is said that he sent for two prisoners and he killed one of them and he spared the other. And he said, "See, I gave death and I let one live." Ibrahim a.s. said, "Indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west." Ibrahim a.s. didn't argue here. He just gave him another challenge. "Okay, if you claim that you do all of these things, then try this. Show us your power." So what happened? The disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment. He was left speechless, but still he did not accept the truth. Why? Because wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimeen, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Who are the wrongdoers? Those who refuse even after seeing the truth. Those who have made up their mind to deny no matter what evidence is presented to them. Now another example is given. Or consider such an example as the one who passed by a township which had fallen into ruin. He said, "How will Allah bring this to life after its death?" Meaning he wondered about the afterlife, about the resurrection, like many people do. So Allah caused him to die for 100 years. Then He revived him. And he said, "How long have you remained?" The man said, "I have remained a day or part of a day." Allah said, "Rather, you have remained 100 years. Look at your food and your drink. It has not changed with time." Meaning your food and drink did not grow stale or moldy, because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, that it should remain unchanged over time. "And look at your donkey." We learn in the ayat that it was completely decayed. The bones were rotting. "And we will make you a sign for the people." How? Because this man woke up after 100 years. This was truly a miracle. "And look at the bones," meaning of your donkey, "how we raise them and then we cover them with flesh." So literally the donkey was revived back to life in front of him. And when it became clear to him, he said, "I know, a'lamu, I know that Allah is over all things competent. Allah can do all things. Allah can bring life to those who are dead." We see that Nimrud was not guided, even though he was given a clear evidence. Why? Because he had already made up his mind about what he wanted to believe. So he was merely arguing with Ibrahim alayhis salam. He was not seeking answers. He was debating. This person, on the other hand, was guided. Why? Because he had questions. He was curious. He wanted to know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. What is the difference? The difference is that one came from a place of arrogance and the other person came from a place of genuine, humble curiosity. Remember, it is not wrong to ask. It is not wrong to wonder. But it is wrong to think, "I know it all." It is wrong to be arrogant before the Lord of the worlds. So we need to look into ourselves. If we are really seeking guidance, then Allah will grant us certainty. He will dispel our doubts. Because Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of those who believe. He guides them. And now a third example is given. And mention when Ibrahim said, "My Lord, show me, Rabbi arini, oh my Lord, show me, kayfa tuhyi al-mauta, how you will give life to the dead." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Have you not believed?" Ibrahim said, "Yes, walakin liyatma'inna qalbi, but I ask only that my heart may be satisfied." We see that Nimrud had denied. The second person was doubtful. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was certain in faith. And yet Ibrahim alayhi salam wondered. The thing is that each person wonders, but from a different place. Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted itmi'nan. He wanted contentment because the heart seeks assurance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that assurance. How? Allah said, take 4 birds and commit them to yourself. Train them. Then, after slaughtering them, put on each hill a portion of them and then call them. They will come flying to you in haste and know that Allah is exalted in might and wise. So He can do all things. Nothing at all is hard for Him. So remember, there are levels of yaqeen. There are levels of conviction. The first level is of ilmul yaqeen, to be convinced of something because of factual knowledge. Then is aynul yaqeen, to be convinced of something because of observation. You have seen it with your own eyes. And then is haqqul yaqeen, to be convinced because of experiencing the reality of something. No matter how well a person knows about something and believes it, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَايَنَةِ Seeing something is not like knowing it. Observation brings a higher level of faith. And this is why Ibrahim a.s. wanted to see. He said, أَرِنِي, show me, how will resurrection happen? And it is necessary for us also to strengthen our yaqeen, to increase, to grow in our conviction. Because as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, الْيَقِينُ الْإِيمَانُ كُلُّهُ Yaqeen is complete faith. It is the highest level of faith. So if Ibrahim alayhi salam requested for itmi'nan, for greater conviction, then we are more worthy of that. We should also seek ways of strengthening our faith. Learn, ask, seek clarity, but always from a place of humility, always from a place of faith, not rejection, not arrogance, not argumentation. Remember, iman, faith, grows with knowledge, and it also grows with righteous deeds. So what kind of good deeds should we perform?